New statewide legislation in Georgia called Matty's Law now offers an electronic tracking system to help police find lost Alzheimer's patients. That's especially good news for African Americans because, according to the Alzheimer's Association, the disease is from 14 to 100% more common among blacks than whites. NPR's Farai Today spoke with Matty's sister, 54-year-old Almicia Graham, and Matty's niece, Dartonia Graham. Almicia described the last day she saw her sister.
I looked out the window that morning because I live right across the street from her. I moved there to take care of her. But I had been in the hospital for my diabetes. But I saw her and her husband in the flower garden that morning. And I went back to bed. So I couldn't imagine her getting out of the house. We kept all the windows and the doors locked at all times because she did like to get out and just walk. That's the last time I saw her alive. I saw her, period, because her body, when they did find it, was so decapitated that you couldn't make it out. They just took her bones and put it in a coffin.
I'm sorry about that. That must have really hit you very, very hard.
Yes, it did. I just needed to see her. But I didn't.
Yeah. D'Artagnan, tell me about how you experienced this family tragedy and also of the law that came out of it.
Well, she was more like my grandmother than an aunt. I spent every day with her just about of my life. And so whenever one of the things that she kind of imparted on me in being her granddaughter unofficially was that I was to kind of stay strong and keep the family together if possible. And that's one of the things that I've kind of strived to do. And we were sitting around one day and we were talking, you know, what if we had an Amber Alert type thing for adults that had Alzheimer's or dementia that get away? And I started doing some research and saw that Amber Alerts had a really pretty high success rate of finding people. And we talked to the Atlanta City Council person for the district where my aunt and my mother lived, and she thought it was a great idea, and it kind of just went from there.
So that was obviously a great positive to come out of a great tragedy, but at the same time, your family has been hit by Alzheimer's again and again, and recently you found out that your own mother, Almicia,
yes,
is suffering from the disease. Explain to me exactly how doctors or you or she figured it out. I mean, who really put their finger on it?
I would say that my mother put her finger on it, quite honestly, long before her doctor or even I did. And that's one of the things that's kind of important with this disease, is that the person kind of has an idea, wait a minute, I'm not operating like I normally would operate.
That is very correct. I was always a sort of fast thinker, but I couldn't think. I would put my hand on something and I could not figure out what it was that I was doing. I had been around Matty while she had it almost daily, and I could tell my personality was becoming very similar to hers, and I knew something was wrong. So I had gone to the doctor, and the doctor thought it was just depression. After several years, it was determined that I had it as well.
You're someone who has seen this firsthand and has lost someone you love to it firsthand. What ran through your mind when you said, this is happening to me too?
Well, I tried to sidetrack it. I didn't want to believe it, but yet I knew it. And it came to a point where I had to admit it. I just got to the point that I wanted to be by myself all the time. I am the type of person, or I was, I had to be in the middle of everything that was going on and having fun. I could care less about being in the middle of stuff.
That must be really frustrating for you to know that there were things that you used to enjoy that you don't enjoy anymore.
Yes. I can't go anywhere and just come back. I have to make pinpoints, challenge myself to realize where I am and where I gotta go. And even after challenging myself sometimes, I still get lost. I guess just part of the disease.
Yeah. Well, dear Tanya, I was thinking that Alzheimer's was an older person's disease, but I have just found out that there are 500,000 people under the age of 65 with Alzheimer's.
Yes, and, yes, Farai.
And you're in your early 30s, right?
Yes, Farai.
And it sounds like you're from a tight-knit family. How has this changed your life? Did you expect at such a young age to have to take responsibility for a parent who is still young herself?
Honestly, Farai, I never gave it any thought. Because I grew up with my mother taking care of her father and mother. And I just thought that that's what you do when you get older. You know, when you become an adult child, you take care of your parents. But sometimes I get a little tired. And if I'm tired, I'll tell her, oh, Mommy, I'm a little tired and I can't make it by the other day. And then we'll go from there. And I just, you know, if you leave, then make sure you have your cell phone with you and call me or, you know, things like that.
Now, your family fought hard to get this Maddie's Call bracelet, but Almisha, do you wear it?
Not yet.
Why not?
Oh, and I was going to tell you that I have a cousin. One of Maddie's daughters live right across the street from me now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
And
your niece.
My niece. And I have to check in. I have about four or five people that I have to check in with if I go somewhere.
Well, you know, you guys seem to have weathered a lot of storms and you're still in it, but you can also laugh. But when I think about your family history, where Almisha, three of your sisters have died of Alzheimer's, your mother, who's 95, also has the disease. And Dr. Tanya, you know, you're looking at all of this family history of the disease. Mm-hmm. How do you wake up in the morning and have a positive attitude about what life holds for you?
Because of how my mother and my grandmother and my aunts have raised me to look on, you know, look for the bright side of things and take each day for what it's worth. That's what I do. It is something that is prevalent in the family, and I hope that I can be like my 100-year-old aunt. She can remember everything. And so I'm hopeful and prayerful that, you know, that I get that particular gene and I'm able to take care of things as long as I can, because she took care of herself up until about 5 years ago.
Before I let you go, Almisha, I understand that you're taking a drug called Aricept. Have you seen any improvement from it? It's the number one drug prescribed for Alzheimer's, and it's trying to make sure that you can still access your memory. Do you feel as if this is doing you any good?
It's too early to tell. I could tell when I don't take it.
What happens when you don't take it?
I can't get out of the bed too good. I sort of roll out the bed instead of jumping out of the bed. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Sometimes I roll out of the bed and I don't really have any reason.
You know.
Well, it sounds like you're fighting every day, right?
Yep. It's another day, and I'm glad to be in it.
Almisha and Dr. Tanya Graham, thank you both so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Farai.
We thank you.
That was NPR's Farai Today, talking with Almisha and Dr. Tanya Graham, a mother and daughter dealing with the ravages of Alzheimer's.